Stephanie McGarry.
And I'm Andrew Goff. This is Humboldt Holding Up. It's a podcast, or it's our boredom spilling out into your ears. Thank you for clicking play. We have been reaching out to people in the community just to see how they're doing during COVID. We've talked to servers at restaurants. We've talked to HSU professors, musicians, council members, restaurant owners, gym owners.
And now we're talking to the most forgotten of all people, comedians.
Poor comedians have been neglected by us thus far. But we are rectifying that today because we reached out to Chris Durant, who is the co-owner of the Savage Henry Comedy Club. He's the founder of the Savage Henry magazine. He likes comedy. He is a fan of comedy, and he has, over the years, ushered it into Humboldt here. So we wanted to see how he is holding up.
And how the comedy world has been affected by this, because, of course, they can't really be having shows during the pandemic, so.
Comedy needs people. It's a conversation. It's a two-way street there.
But do people need comedy?
That's what we're about to find out. So let's see if we can get Chris here in the Zoom.
Chris. Yes, hello.
Hey. Hello. Good morning to you. Good
morning.
You've joined Stephanie and I in the middle of our daily singing of Hamilton songs to each other.
Yep.
Well, I can come back.
No,
join us. Hamilton song.
I'm anti-Hamilton. I'm even anti-real Hamilton over the fake Hamilton. So I'm just I'm anti-founding fathers now and everything.
But what about music? Are you anti-music, Chris?
If it's in the Hamilton soundtrack.
Okay. Wow, that's a very unpopular opinion.
Yeah. I'm not known for my popularity.
So it looks like you're joining us from the club.
We pretty much live here now, yeah.
Okay, you live in the club?
Yeah, we still have a room in our own house in McKinleyville. Yeah. But we rented out we're empty nesters, so we rented out the other rooms to my stepson and a couple of his friends.
Okay.
So we're just cutting corners, you know.
Well, let's do this official.
Okay.
So today we are Zooming with Chris Durant, who is one of the owners of the Savage Henry Comedy Club in Eureka and is also one of the founders of Savage Henry magazine, Humboldt County's most prevalent bathroom distraction.
Until cell phones came along. Yes.
Yeah, cell phones ruined your game.
You could drop a Savage Henry in the toilet, though, and you could just go get another one for free. So
I often read in the shower.
We have a laminator here at the club I can get out for you, and we can laminate an issue for you if you want.
Is that a joke, or do you actually have a laminator?
We have a laminator. We have to make our press passes for for the festival and stuff. Our laminates. You know, I want these comics to feel important when they come through.
Sure. And it's surely sitting there with no use right now, because what do you need passes for?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, we only pull it out for the festival in October, so hopefully it won't miss a year this year, but we have to just wait and see, I guess.
Okay, we'll get back to that, but this is going to shock you, but I actually did some research for this chat. Now I'm sure you know that you launched Savage Henry magazine back in April of 2010.
So January technically, but
okay.
Issue number zero came out in January.
Okay, well, so either way, tardy congratulations on that milestone.
Well, thank you.
You know what happened in July of 2010, exactly 10 years ago?
I don't know, man.
Luckily,
we have 108 issues, man. So yeah. I don't know.
I'm here to tell you, y'all staged the first show under the Savage Henry banner, but it wasn't a comedy show, or at least
the 12-step program.
No, it was something called the Savage Henry Showcase Sampler on July 17th, 2010.
At the Jam.
It was at the Jam. Do you remember who headlined that show?
I want to say Brian Ballantyne, but I'm not sure. My friend, no. Rubberneggers?
It was...
Were they already gone by that point?
Your favorite Weezer cover band and mine.
Oh, yeah. Weeple.
Yeah. Weeple!
Yeah.
I remember Weeple. Wow.
Yeah. I'm sure that was one of the nights that my wife, Monica, who's also co-founder and co-owner of everything, she used to do a very good interpretive dance to all the Weeple songs.
Do you remember any of the specific dance moves and which songs they went to?
Man, I've been trying to bury that stuff for years, so no, I don't. I wasn't dancing with her.
You know, I have to just ask, I feel like this was maybe a dumb question, but I've always been curious, what is the significance of the name Savage Henry, and how did that come about?
It's a obscure reference in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. They when they pick up the hitchhiker, they say they're going to go to Vegas to croak a skag baron named Savage Henry. And back in the day when we named it, I thought Skag Baron was like a scallywag, like a pirate. But a couple of months after we got everything going, I found out Skag Baron is a heroin dealer. So, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you chose it because most of you...
Yeah, it was something I was going to name a ska band way back in the day, Savage Henry, back when I thought I was going to be in the ska industry. But that never... materialized, so I'm just a reference. So.
That's a really good sentence. Back when I thought I was going to be in the ska industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't everybody in the mid to late 90s think they were going to be in the ska industry?
Absolutely, man. I bought some checkered pants and never got to wear them the way I liked. Like,
this isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah. No, yeah. They keep coming in waves, man. And why can't they just call it ska? They have to say first wave, second wave. It all sounds the same. It's the same freaking beat over and over.
You know... You told a little bit about the history of the Savage Henry name, but we also generally kind of start out with a little bit of people's humble history. You know, can you tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how taking it up to when you started?
Yeah, I grew up in the Sacramento area, but I moved up here in 02. I was one of the few people to move to Humboldt County that had a job waiting for them when they got here, not just hope to get one. So, I became a cop reporter at the Times Standard. And with no journalistic experience or anything, I think my city editor, Cliff Larimer, RIP, hired me just to piss off the managing editor, just because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I grew up in a newsroom. My dad was a journalist my whole life, so I had some inkling about work. But, you know, those parents that teach their kids how to swim by just tossing them in the pool? That's kind of like what Larimer did to me with journalism. So yeah, just did cop reporting for 8 years. I dipped out for a minute toward the end there, because when you cover Andrew probably knows this, when you cover the crap of the crap, it kind of gets to you after a while, just covering the worst stuff of the county all the time. So I became the entertainment editor, the exact opposite of the cop reporter. And God forbid I forget a piano recital, because grandmas were the worst. They would call me up that I forgot some piano recital in Northern Lights, the entertainment section at the time. Oh man, I was scared. I was never scared when I answered a call from like a murder suspect's relative or anything, but grandma's in piano recital.
Oh, we have a rule here. It's the smaller the stakes, the larger the outrage.
Yeah. That's a very, I wish I would have known that back when I.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help you to know it. It's just something you live with.
Yeah. I might not have answered the phone as willingly before, but if I would built that in. Then they took Northern Lights from me, so I went back to being a cop reporter. And
what does that mean? What does that mean? They took it from you.
They just decided I was on a family leave for a while to help my mom out and stuff. And when I came back, there was no more Northern Lights. But I knew that was happening because my who was filling in for me was giving me. Like, they would call me up and be like, okay, they just had a meeting and they all came out and it doesn't look good and stuff like that. So I knew it was coming. But so then I just became a cop reporter. But in my disgruntledness of them taking Northern Lights, I started the ball rolling with Savage Henry.
I think you glossed over one of the most memorable things that you did at the Times Standard. Was the first time that you kind of came into my field of vision was when you were doing Fat Guys on Film.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. That was a nice little... distraction from the cop reporting stuff. Yeah, me and James Falk and I did that. We were two large gentlemen who just wanted to be funny and not be super serious, because he was a government reporter and I was a cop reporter. So we just see movies and we'd review them for the entertainment section. And the review was barely, I mean, I don't even, there were some times we didn't even review the movie. It was just an avenue for us to use our humor and stuff. And then we did some video and stuff like that. And then we got into some beefs with 70 Heaven, you know, fake beefs, but yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was in the newspaper war too, because I remember, I can't believe our managing editor at the time, Charles Winkler, put that picture my wife made of me and James sitting, because Eureka Reporter used to have a, that's a newspaper where it was a Time Standard versus Eureka Reporter.
Yeah, for people that don't know it, back in the mid-aughts, the Time Standard was going head to head with a Rob Arkley owned paper called the Eureka Reporter.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was pretty heated. And like it I mean, I hear people talk about it. I wasn't around, but like that it brought out the best in both newsrooms because you guys were competitive and, and wanting to produce good stuff. But yeah, you guys, we'll tell the story. You were going to.
Yeah. They had a billboard on the corridor. It just said, I don't know, like 30,000 homes served, and their paper was free. They would just drop it off at your house whether you wanted it or not. So
yeah.
It's easy to pump up your circulation numbers that way, but I digress. Yeah. But on that billboard, they said how many people they served with, and then we just photoshopped a picture of me and James sitting on top of that billboard, and they put it on the, not even in the entertainment section, they put it on the front page of the paper. That's how heated, how personal the editors and the owners of the papers got. They were just trying to dig any way they could at each other, which was fun. I didn't mind being used that way. But
it seems like all the worker bees of the two papers, you guys all got along.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was for the most part. There are still people like Nando is one of our founding comics on the scene. He was a Eureka Reporter design graphics and stuff. So yeah, he's one of my friends now. I mean, yeah, there's still people that stay in touch with that were at the Eureka Reporter. Yeah. But it was fun. We did like the Time Standard. I don't even know how it was still owned by Media News Group or not. I haven't paid attention since I left. But they were a giant conglomerate, and then Arkley would call the owner, who their flagship paper was, the Denver Post. So I don't even think Singleton knew. Dean Singleton was his name, or is still his name. But I don't even think he knew he had a paper in Eureka until Arkley started calling him and yelling at him about stuff. So then we got new computers. We got new everything. Yeah, new. Every one of us got our own digital camera before they were all phoned out and everything.
And and the Time Standard persists to this day.
I mean, from what I see, it's getting okay. Yeah. They're renting out that upstairs, the news tomb now. At least the reporters have windows they can look at them now.
Windows are nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you start Savage Henry as revenge on the Time Standard taking away your precious entertainment section.
Well, sort of. If I go back a little bit, before I moved up here, I was doing a zine called Short Bus, which is kind of like the basic same blueprint as Times, or that'd be great if it was like Times Standard, but as a Savage Henry, it's just a short attention span bathroom material stuff. So I was doing that in Sacramento, not as a full-time job, as a, back in the day when Kinko's had those key counter things, and you know, the scam where you slam them really hard on your hand, they go back to zero, that type of thing. We were doing that. It was a guerrilla style publishing.
Neither of us know what you're talking about with that.
Yeah, I know. I'm an ancient dinosaur when it comes to that. But all the people that are listening, I'm sure you have lots of listeners in their 40s and beyond who can remember that old Kinko's. They had a little machine you put in to get the copier to work, but it had a counter on it, and you take it out. And then
audience, do you know what he's talking about?
There are some. Trust me. There's going to be comments, and one guy's like, "I did that too."
And then what was the kind of philosophy behind Savage Henry? Like, what do you see its mission as being?
We didn't know at first. It kind of made itself. Our first one, we had like real news stories. Sarah Godlin was one of my writers at Northern Lights, and she's one of the co-founders of Savage Henry. So she did a story on the Eureka skate park opening. And like we were doing like real quotes from real politicians in it and everything. And then by issue number one, that was issue number zero. But issue number one was just all completely made up crap, that just humor. So yeah, not quite oniony type stuff, but it started with a local tinge, but then it just kind of caught wildfire in Northern California and cannabis and all that.
So how many issues have you produced at this point?
Published in print, 108.
Okay.
108, and then there's a digital issue we put out a couple months ago that just to get it out there, and we didn't charge any of our advertisers for it, just to have our writers keep working, keep busy.
And so is the print edition, like is that kind of in flux at the moment, or?
Actually, we just got a couple of new clients that reached out to us. They're in the cultivation industry, and they're funding it the next, now we have funding to get at least two more issues out, and by that time other clients will be up. So mid-August issue number 108 comes out.
Okay.
So in print. Yeah,
you haven't actually, but, or was the first issue zero? I thought you said you already printed 108
Well, issue was number zero, so that's why it throws us all off. I would have known the headache it would have caused back in the day of saying, well, this is issue number 107, but it's our 108th issue, and then I have to explain it. I wouldn't have done the issue zero.
Major misstep there, Chris.
It's not even issue number zero. It's issue number, double zero. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's great to know. I was curious about if you were gonna, if you were still doing that. You know.
Yep.
Because I don't even know. You know, where does one pick up a Savage Henry?
Where doesn't one pick up a Savage Henry?
Well, we haven't been filling up the racks that much with the whole lockdown and COVID and all that stuff. So we haven't been out driving around and throwing papers at people. But I think some of the dispensaries here on Fifth Street next to the club here, they have it. We have it out front in a rack out front of the club. I just put it out every morning to try and pretend everything's normal.
Yeah. Oh, so you've heard of this COVID-19 thing?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And how is that? How all has that affected you? Because I mean, you have the magazine, but then you also have, you know, the club, which the Savage Henry Comedy Club, which kind of requires people gathering in a place.
Yep. So we've been closed since March 12th, the clubhouse.
Yeah. And just for to like how long has the club been?
October of 2018 is when we opened.
Yep. Okay. And so you had
November, excuse me.
Okay. Oh, really? Is that recently? It feels like it's been there for a long time.
Well, we've been doing live comedy since 12. But just never had our own venue until then.
So yeah, I mean, you guys had to. That was obviously one of the things that had to cease.
Yeah, we're in the bottom rung of reopening stuff. We're in that category.
I don't even think they list it. Comedy doesn't even.
No. When I called the center when things started to act like they were reopening for a second there and said, where do we sit? And they just had to go get a manager. They had to look up things. And they didn't know what to say. But we should be, I mean, in my opinion, we should be in the same category as churches. It's one person up there talking to a group of people. The message, of course, is, well, it depends on the comic, but either drastically different or sort of.
It's certainly a sermon light.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they could do it. So, but we're not going to push it. We're not trying to be like, well, we don't want to go viral. Be Chaz and Karen's about everything. Yeah.
But guys have been, it's not like you've been doing nothing. You guys have been doing, you've done a few of these now, right? The drive-in. So why don't you just describe what you guys are doing there?
All right. Well, we do a drive-in show behind the club. It's the old Red Fox. Cause I still tell people that there's a comedy club in Eureka and like, there is. I'm like, oh man, we need better marketing. So I just tell people it's the old Red Fox for people who don't know where Savage Henry is, the old Red Fox Tavern. So behind it, there's a parking lot of a local bank, and well, let's just better to ask forgiveness and permission. We're not really, no one's there. We're not operating the same hours as they are. Yeah. And we've been doing it a month, and I think a bank person did sit in on one show and kind of went, that's not it.
That's consent.
Yeah.
The bank person was there. Yeah.
If, I mean, they weren't officially wearing anything, but I could say that, like, maybe we should have taken a picture. Does this guy work for you? Yeah, it's just driving. We have a ramp out back, and we just, our back door opens right up on the ramp, so we just put the speaker out there, and then we have a little FM transmitter, the same type you would use for, like, your iPod in your car or something, you know, but it actually covers the whole parking lot. We put it up high in the second story in the back window, and the FM transmitter goes to the whole parking lot, so you can kind of hear. It's crackly some spots, but you can hear it without having to hear it, because we don't want to blast the PA. There's an apartment building, like, directly across the parking lot. Right. So we don't want to blast the PA going, because the first time we did it, a cop rolled up on us and said he could hear it five blocks away, which I doubt. He was also threatening to arrest the comic for being loud, and this is right when everything else was hitting the fan. So I'm like, this is your priority right now?
Wait. So you guys are doing these drive-in comedy shows behind the club, and a Eureka police officer comes up and says, you guys are being too loud, and threatens to arrest the comic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he got one more complaint, and he pulled up going the wrong direction on the street.
Oh well,
screaming from his car, and we're like, what is going on? We're like, we'll turn it. Like, the comic's like, we're turning it down. We didn't know. We're not five blocks away. We don't know how far it's going.
Yeah.
But we didn't have time to discuss it and all that. And of course, every other comic just pulled out their phone and started videotaping the cop. So
I'm surprised those didn't come to us.
Yeah.
Well, nothing happened. The cop took off. So we won.
Well, but so how have those shows been? Like, you know, how's attendance?
Mild, very mild. I just don't. Yeah. I think people are still like don't think anything's open, so they're not really paying attention and looking for things to do. So you know, they're not so. The most we have is like 5 cars at one, which is pretty good because that's about 20 people. There's about 3 to 4 people in each car. And then every once in a while we get a scraggler because it is in an alley and it is in downtown Eureka. So we've had a few, let's just call them hecklers, come through that we've had to urge on their way. Yeah.
It wouldn't be a real comedy show without some hecklers.
Yeah. Especially in Humboldt.
Yeah. Well, at least when we're closed, we can kick them out of the place. But when it's on a city alley, you're just like, dude, come on.
Please leave this bank parking lot, sir.
Uh-huh. Yeah. One heckler that just last weekend, Matt Redbeard was doing a set, and the heckler just kept screaming at him, "I'm trying to hear you." And Matt's like, "Shut up, I'm trying to speak." Patience and all that, deal with it.
Where do people find out about these? I mean, where do you have a schedule? Is there even a schedule, or are they kind of impromptu, or you know, how does it?
We have a schedule. We have a Facebook. Our Facebook page is probably the best bet if you go to the events there. We have on our website, there's a calendar on there somewhere. Our website's like not, it should be a lot more paid attention to than it is. But yeah, it's on there. And then we have the signs up. So if you're driving down Fifth Street, we usually put up the banner that says live comedy at 9:00. But then there's these handwritten amendments to it that says drive-in, out back, that type of thing. And then there, I mean, we can't charge people for sitting in the parking lot, but if people want a Venmo, that's cool. If not, I understand things are tough all over. So just coming in for something to do.
So new issue of the magazine in August. And you guys are doing drive-in comedy shows at the club. The other thing that you guys do is usually in the fall, you guys stage the Savage Henry Comedy Festival, which you mentioned earlier. Yep. Were it to happen this year, I think this would be the 9th year that's you've correct. Been doing it. Any plans to try and do something around that this year?
Yeah, we're still acting like it's going to happen, but we are not going to do the multi-menu all over the Eureka Arcade thing. I think we're just going to keep it in-house. Just keep it, if we are able to be open, keep it here. We're looking at possible plan B of parking lots and like bigger type outdoor type things we could just rent or something of that nature. Mm. All the comics we're talking to, a lot of headliners have their schedules are pretty free now. So a lot of headliners have signed, said they would do it, and some virtually. So, I mean, we've done things where we've had comics on our like phone, so what is that, iChat or whatever, the FaceTime and we hold it up to the microphone and it works. I mean, you can hear them through the speaker and everything. You can't really see them from far away, but
yeah,
we've had some comics do sets where another comic holds the phone up to the microphone.
We're living in the future.
So many other types of live events have been trying to shift to doing it on the Zoom, and I was thinking about, you know, comedy doesn't seem like something that you can do in that platform very well.
It's tough. It's real tough. We do some Zoom stuff too. So
all live shows, the audience is a big part of it, but with comedy, I feel like, you know, if you can't tell if you're getting laughs or not, like, how do you?
We leave the mics open. We allow people to turn on their mics that are watching. And it's usually the Zoom mics we have, they're usually just other comics, but they're comics we haven't worked with from all over. I mean, there's a Malaysian comic that shows up regularly. There's a Canadian guy, some expats in Japan that have jumped in. So, I mean, we're getting comics that we would never work with, and this didn't happen. So now we're broadening our connections and everything. So, but yeah, it is tough without the laughter. And even when they do have their mics open, it's some mics are louder, some mics are softer, there's delay. So kind of, but everyone's getting used to it because it's been 4 months now. We do some game show type things we're starting to develop too on Zoom that really don't need that direct laughter and stuff, you know, that, trying to work on developing some type of Hollywood Squares type of thing. And then we do one of our new local comics, Jason Merritt, he has a celebrity show. He calls it the celebrity show. And what it is 8 different comics squaring off with like impressions or prompts or something like that. And it's kind of like a little competition. Man, we did one of those on Instagram Live already. It's pretty fun. And we're doing another one on the 30th on Instagram. So all the different platforms we're working with. Not going to mess with that. What's the video game one? Forgot.
Twitch.
Yeah. And we tried doing like, what is that? I feel like an old man right now. What is that? The Twitch is like we were doing the game shows. I forgot what they're called. They're video game shows, but they're fun. They're fun to game. But then the trolls would just jump in, and I didn't know how to stop them. And the trolls would just.
They can't stop the trolls, Chris.
Drawing game shows and stuff. So it was like, you know, Drawful or something like that is what it's called. And you just draw it, and then everything on it was all hate. And just, I'm like, oh my God, dude, how did this happen?
You are describing the internet, it sounds like.
Kind of, but you know, that doesn't happen in our other platforms. That's an old man in me coming out again. I'm like, oh my God, these kids today.
So to be clear, do you have a tentative date for the Savage Henry Comedy Festival?
Yeah, it's always an Indigenous Peoples Day weekend.
Okay.
Some people still get that Monday off. It was built on that Columbus Day, Indigenous Day weekend, just because of people to have an extra day to get home. That we're traveling from out of here. So we just keep it that way. We had it Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend, and that didn't really work out too well with attendance back in the early days.
So I want to get your thoughts on what kind of humor works in Humboldt. I was watching an old comedy special the other day, and I think you'll know it when I say it. And the guy was bemoaning the fact that he was filming a special in New York because he's like, all the people are miserable here. I would rather be doing a show at a seaside bar in Costa Rica, but they don't need comedy. Everyone there's already smiling. And I was thinking, like, maybe it's tooting our own horn a little bit too much, but I think Humboldt is closer to Costa Rica than it is to New York. And the people that choose to live here, I think, are appreciators of natural beauty. Whereas much of the comedy these days, by contrast, is rooted in kind of gritty truth-seeking. So I wonder if over the years, as someone, you know, you book for Humboldt exclusively, you've been cognizant of what kind of comedy audience we have here in Humboldt when you're booking comedians to come here.
Yeah, I mean, basically my booking usually is related to my personal taste. I mean, I know where I'm from, I know where I live, so I guess that automatically creeps in. But yeah, as far as like Humboldt specific, I mean, weed stuff is tiring now. Back in, it used to be like, yeah, that's funny. I did that. And now it's like, yeah, I know we've done that. Stop. We're all weed. We're all in the weed industry one way or another. So the ones that don't work, though, are the, I remember Keith, I don't think he'd mind me telling him. Keith Lowell Jensen is a Sacramento comic. And before we had our own venue, we did a show at the Jam. And he kind of just went off on people for trying to keep it illegal because of the jails being full, prisons being full of it. And it went from a comedy show to a debate. And, like, matter of seconds.
Yeah, that would be an unpopular. There were times when that would be an unpopular position to take on stage in front of people who might want to attack you.
Yeah, but I mean, every craft's different too. Like Billy Wayne Davis sells out all the time up here. He's cannabis, but he's LA via Tennessee, so he's got that southern angle to things. And then Sam Talent out of Colorado crushes up here every time, and he's a lot of crowd work and stuff. So his sets. I see him do a whole hour-long set one time without even doing anything from his jokes. It was just all crowd work, and the whole entire crowd was on the floor. So
I've heard his book is really good.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I guess there's going to be a review in the next issue. One of our writers is reading it right now. But yeah, it was great to see all the order. I've just been following all the orders and stuff on the social medias, and he's like, man, he's got to be on a New York bestseller list by now. All the people that are posting that they got his book.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's one of my favorite comics to work with of all time. And then, like, I mean, Kinane always is a easy sellout up here.
So weed humor, we don't need it because we have it. We have enough of it.
It's got to be it's got to be something else to it. I mean, I'm not saying no weed humor, but I mean, people up here, I mean, it's funny because it's true, but then when they keep hearing the same thing, it's like, yeah, we get it. You know, weed. So, but yeah, there's got to, it'll work, but there's got to be some new angle to it.
Is that the worst that you've ever seen a big name comedian bomb here? Is that Keith Lowell Jensen?
It wasn't so much a bomb, it was a spirited debate. I mean, like some people, but there's a gentleman that came up and it was a rainy day and Cypress Hill was playing at the casino and he's a pretty big name and like three people came out and he's an African-American gentleman and they were, the crowd was all white and it just turned into basically him holding up a mirror to white America. And it was an educational experience, let's put it that way. But it had nothing to do with him bombing because of the quality of his comedy. He just adjusted to know his crowd, I guess. And then it was, nobody showed up. I mean, it was like power went out a couple times, that type of storm type of thing. Yeah. I think it was snowing that day. It was snowing because it snowed during the Cypress Hill show. People weren't trying to come into a comedy club that night.
So during this shelter in place, you know, a lot of people are like trying new creative ventures because, like, for example, us doing this podcast-like thing because we feel like the stakes are really low, you know, people are forgiving of poor quality.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But I'm wondering.
For sure.
I'm wondering where a young, aspiring comic such as myself might go to attempt to try to do. You know, are these things that you're doing on Zoom? Are they like?
Yeah, they're
open mics.
They are open mics. So
I did not know she was going to do this, Chris. I apologize.
I have no problem with it whatsoever.
It's something I think about every once in a while. I think I'm pretty funny. I'm a writer. I sprinkle comedy into my writing sometimes. And
you should do it.
Yeah, do it right now, Steph. What are you waiting for? tell us some yuck yucks.
Oh no, I can't. I can't be put on the spot.
Yeah. We have a very, very supportive community. So everyone remembers their first time. So they'll not, if you show up, they'll be very helpful to other comics.
It's not really so much for myself. I just, you know, I feel like COVID has got to be making some people pretty funny.
Yeah. It's making us look at things different. That's for sure. And not only are we doing Zoom open mics, we do the drive-in style. We do those. That's a weekly thing we do 2 times a week Sunday nights at 9 and Wednesday nights at 9, which were our open mic nights regularly before COVID and everything. Yeah. So we're still doing those as drive-in, but we kind of keep it quick because even though I think the cop was being ridiculous at the time, we're still not trying to poke the bear. So we try to be done by 10 o'clock, like sharp, just so we can't get any, like, I don't even think the people, half the people in the apartment are watching the show. We look up there and the windows are all open and people hanging out the windows watching the show. So yeah. I don't think many people are complaining, but we don't want to poke the bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This might surprise you, Chris, but Loco is cheap and we do not pay for Zoom. So we're coming.
I see it. The timer's on my end too.
Okay. Yeah. So we got 5 minutes left. So as we kind of wrap this up, you got anything else you want to talk about? I mean, like you want to be funny?
No, I don't want to be funny.
Funny on the spot right now. Do you have 5 minutes of in and out material ready to fly?
No in and out material whatsoever. But Matt has a really good in and out joke. So you should come and see him on Reddit.
We'll steal it from him and tell us.
Is this going to go up today or?
No.
Okay. All right. Because we have that drive-in movie riffing show tonight. But,
yeah. Tell the joke that Matt will tell yesterday as of this.
I can't tell someone else's joke that he's actively putting in his set. No, I'm going to have to pass on that.
You're an honorable
man. But we do like. I've just thanked the community up here. I'm for real. A lot of clubs are closing. A lot of venues are closing all over because of this thing. Humboldt in general has always been very art-oriented, and after 10 years of driving into their brain, it looks like they finally accept stand-up comedy as an art form. and we have, like, the GoFundMe, and we have a Venmo and stuff like that, so on top of that and just the little things. I mean, my wife Monica is all about finding all the little grants and helpful chip-ins that we can get, so it's all with the... I'm very hopeful and very confident that the community will still want to see stand-up comedy when they can do so again. So I think we'll still be here.
Well, Chris, you've we could use a laugh.
Yeah, that's what everyone says. So come on out to the drive-in show. we do Zoom and Instagram and Facebook Live, some of those as well. So those are also from the safety of your own home. You can watch those.
Well, Chris, you've spent the last decade kind of expanding Humboldt's comedy palette and vocabulary, and I know a lot of people are really appreciative of that, and there's a lot of people whose lives have been bettered by just the fact that you have provided them a stage to work shit out on. So again, I encourage people to go support the club, and I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah.
No problem. Thank you, Stephanie. And go comedy and hey, opening day, so go Brewers. I had to say that. Finally, we got baseball. So
yeah, are they gonna kneel?
Brewers probably will. Yeah, they played their last preseason game with Social Justice Matters like T-shirts okay. on. So yeah, so they're yeah. they're very progressive Midwestern.
Well, sure, Wisconsin. Team. I mean, that's the hub of progressivism.
Yeah, I'm gonna maybe I'll get a GoFundMe if I can get one of them cardboard cutouts to put in Miller Park of myself. Yeah,
there you go. All right. Well, thanks, Chris, guys. Really thank you so much. It. Yeah,
no problem.
Have a good one.
Yeah, bye bye.
Yeah,
bye bye.
All right, there you have it. Chris Durant, Savage Henry Comedy Club. Give him love in some form. Show up in his behind his club in your
you
car
got options.
With your AM FM radio.
If it doesn't scare you to go into the parking lot, around the back alley of a comedy club in Eureka, go do that and support Savage Henry, and then of course through their various social media channels as well, you can check out what they're doing in ways that you can still be a part of it.
And as always, we remind you, wear a mask. We're in this together.
And you'll be back. Do, do, do. I don't remember how it goes.
Have a good week, Humboldt.